Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to From the Touchline in Seattle. We're in Seattle, and I'm Todd Stauber. He's Aaron Eisen.
Oh, yes, Todd. Here we go. Friday morning.
Good job. Here we are. Here we are once again. Start the morning at La Rez here in Seattle, and now we are on the air, Heinzo, ready to get at it. We got a lot to talk about. A lot of people
Indeed,
crush, which you know, I really enjoy that. That's my favorite part of it. You're a nice guy, unlike me, so you don't really get as much out of that part of it, but I really, really enjoy it.
Well, you know, I enjoy listening to you.
Yeah, okay. I enjoy your positive spin on life. I always feel like I walk out of this show a better human being, so that's good. Before we get going, Heinzo, I just want to just touch base. You had a little broadcast last night, a little S2 broadcast.
Sure did.
3-2 victory for S2. How'd it go?
3-2? Well, yeah, it was. So S2 needed 1 point in order to get into the playoffs. Otherwise, it was going to go to Tulsa. And they've been trying to do it for about a month and could not do it. Finally, they got it done last night against the Austin Aztecs, a team they'd lost to 2-1 2 weeks ago. Austin actually scored. Well, Sounders, S2 scored first on a penalty kick. And right off of that, Austin had some kid on loan, a guy named Gall, the last name Gall. He's on the under-20 pool. Anyways, really good player.
Van Gall.
No, quick hit. Think of this kid, I think, will be showing up
eventually
someday.
Louis Van Gaal's lost son is actually American, playing the fourth tier of American professional soccer.
I was like, Louis, what's going on?
He was actually there.
Yeah, he's like, who's this? I don't know. I can't do any Van Gaal impressions. No, but this kid was good. So he didn't score the first goal. He scored his cracking second goal. So 2-1. S2 scored just before halftime to make it 2-2 in the second half. Kind of a sloppy second half, but the S2 pulled it out. Great goal.
Well, it's fourth division soccer. I mean, what do you expect?
Yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes they could put things together sometimes and it looks really, really sharp. But last night it was just kind of all over the place from both teams a little bit.
But I still truly believe that if FTI gets fit, we win that game if we play it. But
there's serious speed on this team.
That's another discussion.
No, it was good. Huge win. So they're in the playoffs. It's the way they go. And they're not sure who they're playing yet. There's still a couple teams to play inside that. But
well, more importantly, how was your game on the air? Did you feel like you were on your game?
Yeah, it felt all right. I knew everybody and good, nice fluidity. Nathan Murphy, a guy I've been dealing with all summer long. He's definitely improved. Definitely done a good job. Yeah.
Right.
My hat tips off to him. Yeah. Well done to Nathan Murphy. So.
Yeah, well done. Well, let's move away from that, and let's get into the Champions League, because it has started, my friend. The Champions League is here, and it's just, when I'm watching these games, it reminds me of how much I like it. It's just better than any other game. It's even better than any
Very
Premier
tough.
League game you can watch. It's just better.
Yeah, it's really fun. Yeah, it really
is. So let's go to Eindhoven, where Manchester United walked in there. Feeling pretty good after, obviously, a good weekend. Where they crushed Brendan Rodgers.
Martial, too. What did you think when Martial scored that goal against Liverpool? Were you like, this is it?
Well, and I'll be honest, United lost this game 2-1. But, I mean, and people are saying, oh, United lost. I can't believe it. United's terrible. But PSG was good in this game. They were very good. Obviously, the game was marred by just a shot, poor tackle on Luke Shaw. Luke Shaw's leg snapped right in half. You could just see it when it happened. Yeah, it was horrible. I can't believe that this guy wasn't sent off. His second leg comes through and literally scissors his leg and chops it in half. Grant Cole, a retired English official, came out and said he could not believe that the referee didn't send him off. Couldn't believe that it just went on. I mean, the tackle wasn't even a foul call.
Yeah.
How does a guy's leg get snapped in half, Heinzo, and not even a foul? And a guy that is full-scale scissor tackle. I mean, he came in at pace, too, this guy.
Well, you know, things happen in the game sometimes. He ends up man of the match for that game.
Well, I mean, to be honest, he scored a good header for their first goal, but not shocking. But I will say this. Martial looked very good. Memphis Depay looked very good. A great goal by Memphis Depay.
Yeah.
And I thought United didn't look bad. Two shot corner mistakes. Chris Smalling gives up a corner for the first goal. No, he had no need to give up possession.
Yeah.
He gives the ball away. They go to Sturman. He heads it out of bounds. Porter comes. And Darmian gets beat on the header for the first goal. And then Darmian literally assisted the second goal.
Surprising,
I mean,
dude.
Giveaway. Yeah, he's been very good.
Yeah.
He was shockingly bad in that game.
Yeah, it's too bad because it's not going to get any easier. I think PSV Eindhoven is probably one of the easiest they have in the whole group.
As we were talking pre-show, I think Wolfsburg, I mean,
yeah,
it
it's going to be very, very difficult. Moscow, I mean, yeah, it's good. Moscow is a good team as well. I mean, they only beat them 1-0. That's a good Wolfsburg team. So,
on the road. I said it last week. This is not as easy of a group as everybody's making it out to be.
No, it's not an easy
group
at all.
I mean, Eindhoven won the Dutch league. It's not like they're terrible.
Yeah,
they've got good players. I mean, even without Memphis Depay, and how do you feel if you're Memphis Depay and you go to United?
Yeah.
And then you go back home and you lose that game. Well, you probably feel better because now you're making a ton of money. But
he needs to open up his Premier League account as well. I mean, he's done well in the Champions League so far.
I thought he looked good, though, and I thought Martial is not – he's a good player. I like Martial.
Yeah. How about that Schweinsteiger ball to Mata towards the end of the game?
And
Mata lets it go.
Mata had a
surprise.
Yeah, Mata had a shocker there. Well, it's a tough one, and I'll tell you what, it was a tough one all over for English teams because let's go to Manchester, where City has been done 2-1 by Juventus. Juventus loses all these players. Here they still are in the Champions League going to City. I would say City's the most talked about English team right now, and they do them 2-1. And it should have been 3-1. Pogba was not offside on the header that he got early in the game.
This is a Juventus team that's sitting in 12th right now in the Serie A. I mean, they're just getting going. But, they just played the Champions League final. You still have Buffon back there. You've got Chiellini back in the lineup from, the injuries that they had. No one wants to play Juventus. That's a very, very experienced back line. Pogba, it's beginning to take over full football just a little bit, at least in that midfield area. I mean, Morata, Real Madrid, they have Ronaldo, right? They've got Benzema, but the fact that they don't have Morata for the next decade has got to be just a dagger to the heart for them. That guy is a beast of a player.
That could be a dagger to the heart. Then they could also look over and see that there's a fat Spanish waiter coaching. That can also be a dagger to the heart. Oh, man.
And they got Mandzukic.
We hired this guy? What were we thinking?
Yeah, that reminds me of seeing Ronaldo. Yeah, that's a whole other thing.
Well,
I think Juventus are a good team. Tactically, they're very good. I mean, the Italian teams are superb.
Yeah.
On the, they are.
No, that's true. They are. They are tactically very good.
Yeah.
And we can go ahead and let's talk more about it. Let's go to the Roma Barca game. I mean, probably one of the best goals you're ever going to see in soccer. But you also had a Roma team that was tactically so good defensively against the Barcelona team. I mean, Barcelona destroyed everybody. They held them 1-1.
Yeah. And this is a team that Roma's just had enough of a name to be not overlooked, so they're completely annihilated by the top teams. Like, you've seen Bayern Munich do it to them in the past. Manchester United did it to them a few years ago, quite a few years ago now, I suppose. But they're always subject to these massive losses to the bigger clubs. Because Roma are actually a pretty big club, so no one's overlooking them. They're not like an Eastern European team that's showing up and, nabs a point because the other team didn't really care.
Astana, who's showing up from
like Arbate Borisov, who's definitely. I mean, no offense to those teams, they're good. Well, they're not like a Roma is a good team.
Yeah.
And this time they showed it. They showed well.
Well, it definitely helps when a guy on your team lifts the goalkeeper from 65 yards out. That's going to boost your confidence in any situation.
It's absolutely unbelievable goal. I couldn't even believe it's past the halfway line. You look like, where's this guy going here? Looks up, sees Ter Stegen off his line.
You can see he definitely takes a look and sees him.
Well, when he takes the space, starts going forward, you're like, okay, he's going forward, and then you can see the Barcelona defense collapsing. You're like, how is this going to end? This guy's going to be out of position. This could be a bad heart attack here. He looks up.
Yeah.
And knocks it over Ter Stegen, and it not even just that. It doesn't go over, because if it goes in the middle of the goal, I think Ter Stegen gets to it. He gets back.
Yeah.
But then he thinks it's going wide, I think.
He's
inside of the far post and goes in.
Fantastic.
Unbelievable. I love the crowd. They show the crowd for like 30 seconds.
It was unreal. What a great goal.
Great goal. Really fun. Yeah, really
unbelievable.
We'll be talking about it.
Let's talk Real Madrid a little bit. You know, obviously no issues, but it helps when a man is scoring at a rate that has never been seen on the planet before. Three more goals. The first player to 80 Champions League goals in the history of the league.
Mm-hmm.
What else can you say about Ronaldo? He scored five against Espanyol on the weekend.
Yeah.
And now he's got three in the Champions League. He scored eight goals in like 5 days. It would take me 25 years to score eight goals. In
I feel like a Real Messi aside, everybody else who's playing in the top class of world football are like the little green army men on a board. And Ronaldo's the 10-year-old kid who comes in and like, just knocks them all over, doing whatever he wants, putting them here, putting them there. I mean, yeah, you're right, Bob. Five goals in one game, Espanyol, pretty decent team, mid-table Spanish team. Five goals against anyone is unbelievable. And then come on and score a hat-trick against Shakhtar, who's a pretty decent side of themselves.
Yeah,
eight goals in two games, you're right. The guy's, like, doing whatever he wants.
Well, and people can say, like, oh, it was Shakhtar Donetsk. Oh, it was, you know, it was
Shakhtar.
It's fine. There's other players playing against these teams also, and they're not scoring eight goals against these teams. I mean, you can say whatever you want about the opponents, but when you're scoring goals at that clip, and even, like, if you look at the hat-trick against Shakhtar, okay, fair enough. Two are penalties.
Yeah.
One is a rebound that he heads in.
Not the greatest goals. That is definitely true.
But he's still scoring them.
Still scoring them.
He still scored five against Espanyol. I mean, it's unbelievable. The thing that I really like is that, I mean, you're really seeing, we're so lucky that we get to see Messi and Ronaldo at the prime of their career. I mean, this is like a battle royale between the two guys. And we're getting to witness it. It's like watching Magic and Jordan back in the NBA in the 90s. I mean, we're getting to see two of the greatest players that will ever play the game just square up and go at each other. Messi's on 78 Champions League goals. He's probably going to hit 80 here next week.
Yeah, he's under pressure now.
Here's something that really, really sums it up for me. Did you see Simeone's press conference after the Atletico lost 2-1? Torres scored. The whole stadium's going crazy. Everybody's jumping around, flying around. And what happened? Shaking his head, walking back to the bench, and they asked him afterwards, "Diego, why were you the only one in the whole stadium not celebrating?" He goes, "Because I looked down and saw Messi was performing."
I mean, it's true, and Messi goes on.
Yeah,
you know, scores,
good. His midfield vision is still there. Everybody else is like, there's Messi right there.
Exactly.
We're going to get done here.
It's true. It's when you think that Ronaldo is, I mean, you know, everybody always gets sucked into the vortex that is Ronaldo versus Messi, who's better. I mean, it's kind of hard not to, but it's just being Messi's kind of carried away the whole thing, and Ronaldo is so good and done all this. But Messi's just got something else. I mean, Ronaldo goes and gets 80 goals before him. Ronaldo is outscoring him right now. It's, you know, eight goals in 1 week. They're both absolutely phenomenal.
The argument is a moot point.
It's a moot point. Who cares?
They're both insane.
They're both insane.
Different too. That's just everything. I like, they're very different, you know?
Yeah.
So
exactly.
It doesn't matter who's better to me. I'm enjoying watching both of them. I'm not a Barca fan. I'm not a Real fan. So it doesn't matter to me unless Real Madrid's playing against United.
Right.
And then I'll just make fun of Rafa Benitez.
It's like the movie Twins, except for Danny DeVito is equally as powerful as Schwarzenegger.
I love it. The Twins reference comes out on the time. With that,
I don't know where I came from.
You are listening to Aaron Heinsohn, Anton Stauber on From the Touchline in Seattle. We're here every Friday morning, and we're just going to keep getting right after it here. But, I mean, let's talk about Arsene Wenger. Sorry, Arsene. Olivier Giroud sent off in the first half. Makes things a little bit difficult there in Croatia.
Weird card. Arsenal, strange.
A little bit strange. I've seen a lot of strange cards. But Arsenal come away without anything to speak for out of Croatia. Arsenal, because they have a manager that is emotionally so susceptible, they're going to melt down at any point. They have no chance to ever be successful.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we were talking about this before the show. It's true. I mean, Fanger's such a fascinating character because he doesn't win. I think if he did won something between the last time they won and the last time they won the Premier League title, I shouldn't say that. I mean, they've won two FA Cups. But, you know, it's the FA Cup. Much respect to the FA Cup, but it's not the Premier League anymore, is it? Yeah. Fanger hasn't even been close. He's obviously getting in the Champions League every time. He's running one of the biggest clubs in the world, one of the most followed.
He's getting in the Champions League, but he's never winning.
Yeah, no, and no one even expects him to. That is the thing as well. I mean, everyone knows they're going to get some good-looking attacking football, soccer from Arsenal. They're going to see some exciting plays, but they're not going to compete for it. And as competitive as this guy is in his coaching career, he says he's very competitive, but there's the way he carries himself, the way it's just something that is so against the grain now in sports, where people are having fits and throwing it out to say Arsene Wenger doesn't get upset. But he's just a different character out there. And, you know, if Jose Mourinho is absolutely 100% would be, you know, throwing his arms, it'd have been gone years ago.
Oh, yeah. Well,
most of these guys, most people would be.
I'm looking at a couple great headlines right now. The first one is a quote from Wenger. English clubs must improve in Europe. Yeah, you're right. We've been saying that for 10 years. I'm glad that you finally realized it. The other one that I'm looking at is Arsenal bragging that they have £193 million in the bank. That's great. Do we want to buy some trophies? Because you don't have any.
Yeah, no, it's true. But for me, that's why it's so interesting. Anyway.
It is interesting. What you're saying to me, basically, I'm going to sum up what you just said. It's interesting that he can be such crap and still have a job, and everybody talks about how good.
And still be just such a guy that is following a philosophy just with blinders on, almost in a way, in some cases. I mean, he just seems to buy the same kind of players, same style, same philosophy, which is good. I mean, but there has to be a lot of adaptations. Maybe, I mean, he had it for a while when he first came in. You know, he had the Vieira. He had that Tony Adams. But where are those guys now? You know, you thought Abu Dhabi was going to be the answer. He didn't end up. Now you have Coquelin, finally, after all this time.
Yeah.
But, I mean, is he going to be enough? Probably not.
Well, I don't know. It's interesting. And the way he just
goes about a year in and year out. And like I said, Arsenal, there aren't really, I mean, is there going to be a better alternative than Arsene Wenger? Maybe not. But, I mean, now they have so much, they have a lot of money. Can they bring in a coach who really wants to win, or is going to at least get you a year or two of, like, a really caught?
I don't know if he'll ever be sacked. I feel like he's Siggy Schmidt.
No, I agree. I agree with you.
For life, no matter what.
I agree with you there. I don't think. I mean, he does get him in the Champions League. He does keep the money in. But still, I mean, I don't know. It's just so interesting. It's such a popular club.
Yeah.
It's such a big club. And every year you hear the same thing from Arsenal fans. Like, oh, this, we're going to win stuff. We need to really start focusing on it. Blah, blah, blah. Same thing. You know, they're struggling again at the beginning of the year. History says by February, Arsenal are going to be in fourth place. They're going to stay there, and they're going to finish there, and they're going to be in the Champions League again next year.
It's called the January meltdown. It happens every year, and that's why I love it. Every year, Arsenal fans are like, oh, we got the team this year. Yeah, you do have the team. You might last to mid-January this year before you melt down. The problem is, no matter what players you have, you still have Arsene Wenger as your manager.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy has not done anything.
Bring in
whoever you want. Bring in Alexis Sanchez. Bring in Giroud. Bring in Cazorla. I don't care who you bring in. You still have Arsene Wenger as your manager, and he's trapped.
Yeah, I massively respect him. I am fascinated by him, though, the fact that he has claimed to be so competitive. I mean, I've been talking about him for a long time. I just think he's an interesting guy. But how is he not just trying to do everything now to win a Premier League title again? He's not. He hasn't changed. Isn't that anything? And you see it again from an outside perspective, and I am definitely a way outside perspective, but you just see that's the same with your Arsenal team. Oh, I see you picked up some speed. Oh, that's the same.
Yeah.
I see you picked up some French players. Oh, that's the same. You don't have any.
Big shocker there.
Yeah, it's just the same. I mean, some good-looking players, no question about it. Hector Bellerin, I think, is one of the best outside backs.
Yeah, but I will say this. He did develop Nicolas Anelka. He did develop Thierry Henry.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's had
some incredible players. Van Persie.
Some great young players come through that he did well with. Yeah, Van Persie's another. And I mean, if you look at the 2002 team, I mean,
an insane team.
Insane team. They were unbelievable. But Dennis Bergkamp was the reason that team was the team they were.
And Patrick Vieira.
Yeah,
I mean, that guy has been absolutely irreplaceable.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of team that you think he would search out. He never replaced Petit. Never replaced Vieira. Never replaced Tony Adams, really, in the center.
He tried to replace Vieira with Mikel Arteta.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. You don't have the same kind of combination, same kind of balance. What's sort of name? Coughlin, great player, but he's not Patrick Vieira.
Yeah.
Flamini was a little bit like that, too, but, you know, not as good. No one is commanding.
And their golden English boy, Jack Wilshere, is actually, they found, is made of styrofoam. I mean, this guy, I mean, I can't really say much because I did my hamstring jumping in the 16-year-old in training last night. But this guy is unbelievable. He's 23 years old.
Yeah, you're not.
He's taken more injuries at this point than a 75-year-old man. I mean, it's unbelievable how soft that guy is. And I'm just going to go on. I mean, I kind of feel bad for him, but he's overrated.
Yeah, I mean,
he's overrated.
He's had some.
I feel worse for Luke Shaw because at least Luke Shaw's not overrated, and the guy like got into a horrible tackle. Somebody broke his leg. Luke Shaw has all these injuries to himself. Oh, I twisted my ankle again. Oh, I'm out for 5 months. What? He like fell over. You're having surgery in 5 months. He's got like a shin contusion, and now his leg is broken and won't heal properly. Now he's got a surgery on that.
It's too bad. It's too bad because he's a pretty decent player, I think, Wilshere, but he can't. He's stop and start, stop and start. Just can't seem to get going. So.
Overrated. Chelsea, though. Chelsea getting on track in Tel Aviv. 4-0. I mean, I'm not convinced.
No, it's Maccabi Tel Aviv. We'll get to the Premier League, I suppose, in a few minutes. But they got the job done, and it's a win, which is what they needed. It's a win for Chelsea after what they did against Everton. Mourinho having a little bit of his breakdown with Roberto Martinez, coach of Everton. It's a win. So they got something.
Well,
I mean, they were the only English team to win in the Champions League all week.
They were the only English team to win, which is ironic.
In the Champions League, anyway.
In the Champions League, right. There was other English teams that won in the league. No, everybody tied in the whole English league. Weird.
Or the Europa
League. But, really looking forward. We can move right into the Premier League because I'm looking forward. I'm always looking forward to Wenger and Mourinho, especially right now, because this could go either way. Mourinho's on the verge of a major meltdown, and this could be the catalyst, and you could see it, and I'm hoping. I don't even care about either of these teams, but one of these managers is melting down after this game, and I just can't wait to see what it's going to be.
It's going to be really, really hotly contested.
Oh.
Yeah, I can't wait either, because it's too bad it isn't at the Emirates, just because it would be that much more difficult for me.
If I was at the game, I wouldn't watch one bit of the football on the pitch. I would be watching those two the entire time.
Mm-hmm. They're both in vulnerable positions. Obviously, Wenger has been there plenty of times. He's not that worried. Mourinho's, he had that blow-up at Everton where Roberto Martinez was quoted. I liked him a lot better last year when they beat a 6-3 here. After Everton beat him 3-1 pretty well, pretty easily. Good game. Everton are a good team this year, but that's another story.
Yeah, they really are. Yeah.
And now you've got Mourinho being questioned by the BBC reporter this week saying, what is it, what are you, or just, can you, are you just a 2-year coach? Can you do 3 years? And
he lost his mind.
Yeah, he lost his mind, but, a bit. And, defends himself, fair enough, defending himself. But, you're right. What's he going to say if there's a complete collapse and Arsenal get him? On the second, because Arsenal, they won at Stoke, then they've lost at Zagreb. Chelsea, the reverse, losing to Everton. Now they beat Maccabi Tel Aviv. So what's going to happen? Both teams are missing people. Chelsea don't have Courtois. They don't have Pedro Falcao. I'm not sure if they're going to be back. They don't have Blue. And then Arsenal, they don't have all back as well. Sure, they're probably used to. And they don't have.
Yeah, but let's be honest. I mean, if Chelsea are not able to get a result in this game, then we're going to be talking about them. I mean, they're sitting right above the relegation.
Relegation.
When I look at that and they're so close there, I get tingles in my stomach. But
what if it happened? No, there's no way. What would you do if they did?
4 points from six games.
What would you do if Chelsea got relegated by the end of the year?
I'd probably fly to London and go and, like, do something outside of the ground. I mean, I would probably do something outside of Stamford Bridge just with some kind of sign. I don't know. I would have to go to London. I mean, right now, let's just be honest. If Chelsea don't win this game and Stoke, Sunderland, or Newcastle get a result, they're going to be in the relegation zone. And I'm going to take a picture of that and blow it up life-size and put it on my wall.
I mean, so early in the year, but, you know.
It is early in the year.
They're not going to get relegated. It's just...
Certainly they won't get relegated, but just, I mean, the meltdown that could occur is just, the anticipation of what could possibly happen.
Oh, man.
I can't wait for this game. I literally cannot wait for this game. And I don't care about either one of those teams. I want them both to lose, but I can't wait to see how this can all shake down. Let's talk, let's move on from that because I could go all day. Let's move on to one of my other favorite managers, Timmy Sherwood, last week celebrating with old Jackie Grealish. He's going down the line, celebrating with the fans. Villa's up 2-0, they're flying. And why don't you take it from there, Hines, and tell me what happened right after that?
Well, you know, then Leicester City proceeds to score three goals and win the game 3-2, and second in the Premier League.
I believe there was only 18 minutes left, and we got a goal in the 72nd, in the 82nd, and then again in the 89th. And where is Timmy Sherwood at that point? Oh, he's sitting in the bench. Does he realize what a donkey he is at this point? Does he realize how stupid he looks? Does he realize that he... very much like Jose Mourinho, has taken 4 points from five games, and he's running around celebrating like he just won the World Cup.
I know. It is kind of funny to watch sometimes. He does carry it over, and you think it's not real. The one issue I have, and I kind of agree with you, it doesn't look real. Not that I know the guy at all or anything, but it looks like he's trying to bring some sort of energy in. I kind of get that, but you got to be a little more subtle about it. It's not your character. When Jose Mourinho does it, it's in his character to do it.
Yeah.
You know, he can do that. Tim Sherwood does it. It just looks like he's trying to take a page out of Mourinho's book. It doesn't stick.
Yeah, but here's another difference. Jose Mourinho's won the Champions League with three different teams. So
that's true.
That also makes a difference. Tim Sherwood won a reserve game at Tottenham. That was all he won. I mean, it makes a difference. I mean, Jose Mourinho, I mean, all the antics and everything else, at the end of the day, he can go Porto,
right.
Milan, and Real Madrid.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, he has won it at Real Madrid, but he has won it, obviously, with Inter Milan and Porto. But he's won the leagues everywhere.
He's won everything he can win. Tim Sherwood won a reserve game at Tottenham.
And I completely agree with you. I just think Mourinho, you just be yourself. No matter what you've won, you got to be who you got to be. But it just doesn't look like that's Tim Sherwood to me. It doesn't look like he's just trying to do the cheerleader thing on the sideline. I totally agree with you, and it just doesn't. And Leicester City scores three goals and wins.
Oh, that's fantastic. I mean, listen, if I'm playing for Leicester City and I see that donkey somewhere like that, I'm like, I'm thinking I'm going to do whatever I can, my human power,
right,
score and beat this clown.
Ronnie Harry's got to be just loving it. Got to be loving it right now.
Yeah, he's got to be. I mean, I think it's fantastic. And, you know, I mean.
I agree.
I mean, at the end of the day, you know, Leicester City in second place.
Pretty exciting for them. I mean, it's another one of those where, you know, we've seen the clubs give the start and give the try and then they're gone by the time December rolls around. But it could be different this year.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, you got West Ham, you got Palace sitting there. Great game, Palace. I mean,
they barely
say Palace. It hurts me to say that because you know how I feel about Alan Pardew. But,
right.
I mean, if you look at the top 10, you're looking at Norwich is in the top 10, Swansea's in the top 10, Everton, who's been there, Palace, West Ham, and Leicester. I mean, it's not bad. It's nice to see a little parity happening. Let's talk United.
Yeah, I agree.
yet another manager I'd like to crush, and I will. Brendan Rodgers, how's that experiment working out there, Brendan? Not so good. 3-1 to United. I thought United looked pretty decent. The one goal from Liverpool, though, we have to talk about Benteke.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me with this guy?
Yeah. I did say I didn't think Benteke would have five goals by the first half of the season, and I'm definitely wrong. I just think Liverpool just looked so sounded, and if Coutinho's not on the team, they're not even close to good enough. But that Benteke individual effort was absolutely insane.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well, how much did they overpay for this Firmino guy? I mean, this guy is not good. He was terrible that game.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to take him while he's come from the German league in here. Clearly a talented player. He's playing with the Brazilian national team a little bit, but it doesn't look like he's going to fit in anytime soon, does it?
No.
Yeah, it was absolutely a ghost out there. I mean, that said, Liverpool doesn't keep the ball. They don't have a good cohesiveness or anything. And Brendan Rodgers finally came out and said, yeah, okay, it's going to take a little while before we're back in. But, like, Brendan, are you going to be around at that point?
Yeah, he's not going to be around. Brendan Rodgers, I'm going to say it right now, he's not going to last the rest of the season.
Yeah, I mean, you might be right. I don't know. He needs some wins.
I mean, he's got a little Timmy Sherwood in it, or you could say vice versa, but the arrogance that he approaches everything with, it's like, come on, man. Let's call a spade here. You did pretty well when you were at Swansea.
Right.
And now you got the Liverpool job because there was nobody else available. You were a young guy that seemed to have your system in place, but you haven't been implemented at a big club, and you've never won anything.
Mm-hmm.
You've never won a thing, and here you are. You're the most arrogant guy ever. I mean, unbelievable to me, this guy. I mean, these guys, these managers, I mean, listen, I'll take it for Mourinho and Wenger because they've won things, but not these other clowns. I mean, there's no place for it.
Yeah, I mean, he has set the record as the longest drought without a trophy at Liverpool, which is, I mean, that's a pretty storied club there. And it hasn't won anything yet.
You're right. I mean, and
the loss of Luis Suarez, you're still going to be feeling that for years.
Yeah, I mean, clubs lose players all the time.
Yeah, it goes back to actually buying. I don't think we ever really found out buying these guys. Is it Rodgers or
well,
is it? It's got to be part of the club.
They have their panel. We already talked.
It's
got to
be part of the panel.
Minnie Mouse is on the panel. Big Bird.
It's got to be part of
the Cookie Monster and Snuffleupagus. Those guys are making the call.
I think, and this is obviously clearly speculation, I think if Brendan Rodgers is responsible for all these purchases completely and solely responsible, he's gone by now. So clearly the panel's had some say, and like, he needs to bring in this person, Markovic, who they spent so much money on last year, already on loan, already gone.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, and Dejan Lovren's out. He's doing okay, and then he's terrible.
Doing
okay.
Did you see the goal he gave up against West Ham?
Yeah, well, he had a couple of games, good games
before that.
I think I saw
replay of that goal the next day in a U-13 girls game.
Yeah. Well, that's my point exactly. I mean, Lovren was doing all right. He's fitting in, and then he does the West Ham thing. I mean,
shocking.
Yeah.
Shocking. And I mean, listen, I mean, Danny Ings was playing against Manchester United.
Yeah.
He's actually in the game playing. I mean, they actually think he's going to do something. So
he's
a shocker. But, you know, I mean, yeah, it's. I just hope he goes down. I mean, I really do. I know.
No, you're certainly not alone in thinking Brendan Rodgers is going to be gone by the time if things don't change.
Who replaces him?
Well, I mean, at this point, Gibby? I don't know. I mean,
Jurgen Klopp, I hear, is not leaving Germany. I hear he's waiting for Guardiola to leave Bayern Munich, and he's going there. That's the latest rumor I've heard, okay. Yep.
Well, maybe Guardiola moves to Liverpool.
To Liverpool, yeah. Well,
I'd like to see.
All right.
I would love to see Pep Guardiola in the Premier League.
I do it too. Not at Man City, though, please. But it's probably most likely. Ryan Giggs is probably going to take over from Louis Van Gaal.
I hope Ryan Giggs takes over. I will say, though, the job that Guardiola, I mean, if you watch Bayern Munich play, they're unbelievable. Let's go back. We got to cover this.
We didn't talk about Bayern Munich's Champions League either.
No, we didn't. They won 3-0. But, I mean, let's talk about Thomas Müller.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
he's on a Ronaldo last case.
You're right. I mean,
he scores goals. Every time he plays, he scores. Every single time.
Yeah, he's not and he's not as insane as Ronaldo and Messi, right?
No.
He's not on that level, but he is the next step down, no question. He's absolutely
phenomenal. If you saw him walking on the street, I mean,
right.
He doesn't look the part. Right. This lanky, awkward-looking guy, that's hair kind of big head-to-head, like, hair coming off his head. I mean, you're looking at this guy like, is this guy like, this is the guy in the Big Bird suit in the actual show of Sesame Street. This is the guy, like, standing in. But, I mean, this guy can play.
Yeah, for sure. And he plays all over the place. Plays out on the wing, plays in the middle. Defensively, he's tireless. I mean, Ronaldo doesn't always play defense. Definitely been guilty of it. Messi does play defense, as a matter of fact. It's a fact. But Mueller is just absolutely 100% all over the field. Like, some, this guy could easily retire from soccer and go right into running 50-mile marathon.
Yeah,
I mean, he's just got that build. Yeah, ultra
marathon.
Easily could do that within a couple months because he's got that build. Tall, like you said, lanky, insane stride. I mean, just a freak athlete, very competitive. He's going to win more in his lifetime, no question.
Yeah,
I think
sure.
The only thing about Guardiola right now for his Bayern Munich is he's got to win the Champions League in order to put that final cap on what he's done.
I agree, and I think Bayern Munich has a team to do it.
They do.
It's going to help if Ribery and Robin are healthy when it comes time to get into the knockout stages of the Champions League. It's going to be close. But I mean, you can also talk about PSG. You know, I mean, there's a lot of Real, Barca's going to be there, Juventus is going to be there.
Well, it's a scary front three Bayern have when you have. I mean, Ribery is probably not going to start every game anymore, but he'll be in and out. But you have Diego Costa now on the left. You got Lewandowski up top. You got Robin on the right. You got Mueller sitting underneath them. You have Kurz as an option. You've got Alcantara sitting in behind them. It's an absolute. David Alaba's back on the left. You've got Lahm still. The entire back line solid.
You still have Xabi Alonso, the best.
Yeah, Xabi Alonso. It's an absolute. And now this is a team that had a year or two under their belt.
Yeah.
To get kind of used to each other. Sorry to say, Bastian Schweinsteiger isn't there anymore, you know, but it's just an incredible team. And injuries obviously can be an issue. Some of them are older, but, you know.
No, I'm glad. I'm glad Schweinsteiger's at United, though.
Yeah, I know. I am too.
He does look good. Well, you're listening to Todd Stauber and Aaron Hines in here from the Touchline in Seattle for every Friday morning, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern. We're talking Premier League right now. Actually, we're talking, you know, it's kind of a mix and match of Premier League, Champions League, aren't we?
Yeah, we're kind of bouncing around, aren't we?
Yeah, we are kind of bouncing around. We're like Timmy Sherwood on the air. Just bouncing around like a little jester. Well, we're going to move stateside here, though. Let's talk a little MLS. We're winding down into the playoff season. It's kind of weird that we even have playoffs. You know, we're the only league in the world that has playoffs. It's so American. It bothers me, but we still, despite that, we've got some interesting things happening. Yeah, it is what it is. Well, I'll take it because the league is getting better. There's some great players. Yeah, yeah. Let's start in the Eastern Conference, where the New England Revolution has revolutionized the Eastern Conference and taken over the lead. Here, Red Bull's been on top of the table all year, and here comes the Revolution out of nowhere. But Revolution has some great players. Adelo.
Oh, yeah.
Jermaine Jones. I mean, there's a ton of great players there.
Kellen Rowe's been good for the Revolution.
Kellen Rowe, Washington
year.
Boy. Yeah, he's been great for him. I think he's a great player. DC United. Sniffing around at the top, and now the Columbus Crew also sniffing around the top. Only 2 points separate first and fourth there, but Revolution, Red Bull, DC United, Columbus Crew. It should be interesting. Toronto FC is sitting there. They've lost three in a row. They're actually attempting to bottle it one more time. They've not made the playoffs in their entire 9-year existence. They bought every player from all over the world, Bradley, Altidore, Giovinco, and they're still trying to bottle this. I don't know if they will, but they're giving it a shot.
Yeah, I think they've got enough quality that will, you know, and that's Bradley and Altidore going with the national team doing that kind of stuff. I think finally they'll have some time and some space to get it done, aside from the October 10th game against Mexico that they have to play for the Confederations Cup. For now, there's qualifiers for the Confederations Cup. That's what bugs me.
Yeah.
But anyway, should be Mexico in, and that's that. But whatever.
Giovinco is he's
great player.
I mean, I think he might be the best player in the league. I mean, he's unbelievable.
Yeah,
he's unlucky that he got the Italy call up and they got injured in that game.
Yeah.
Wasn't able to go, but you're going to see him in the Italian national team. And this guy, I mean, he's like a little garden gnome, and it's unbelievable. What he's able to do.
Yeah. He is, and it's, you know, it says a lot because, again, MLS has improved a ton. It's still not looked on as a great league in Europe, as a league that you want to be pulling your national team players from, per se, unless they're proven. Juventus was quite a proven player, couldn't cut it at Juventus. Now killing it in Toronto and killing it so well that they're like, okay, we have to bring you back and take a look. So that said a lot, I think. I mean, there's plenty of Italian strikers in the Serie A that are doing all right, and they still want Giovinco in there. So I think that says quite a bit.
Yeah, it does. Well, if you look at the bottom half here of the East Conference, it's also back there. Montreal with games in hand because they didn't play an MLS game until apparently October.
Yeah.
They're not even there yet.
Still talking about Champions League.
But they've still got, they've still got a couple games in hand here. But, they, you know, there's only 6 points that separate six from 10. Orlando snipping around Kaká. New York City just got a big win. Lampard with a goal.
They needed that.
Over Toronto. Yeah, they did need that. But Pirlo not looking great in the MLS. I mean, I think Pirlo is a guy that needs good players around him.
Yeah.
He can do his thing. But,
yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, the back four for New York City is shocking.
It's just not enough. You got to, like you said, he's a guy that needs to be, ball needs to be brought in. He'll come and find it, but he's.
Yeah,
that's going to run all over the place and win the ball for himself. You got to give it to him. He's that kind of player. And then, exactly like you said, players have to move off of him. Now he's got Lampard and out for most of the summer. He's got David Villa, but teams are good enough. Those guys are older now. They're not going to – I mean, the MLS is savvy enough to handle those guys for the most part. Unless you have David Villa running right at you or something else.
Well, I did have an interesting conversation with Fran O'Brien, ex-Irish international, that we've had on the show before. And he was talking about when he came over to the old NASL to play in Philadelphia, that he had a lot of trouble with the summer humidity on the East Coast. And, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, Pirlo and Lampard aren't young.
That's a good point.
That East Coast humidity can feel like you're running around with a school bus on your back. And, I think it could be affecting those guys. Because it is, I mean, it is different than what they're, you know, what they're used to dealing with.
Turin's a northern Italy town. That's, and, you know, it does get humid there in the summertime, but it's not New York City humid.
And the sun hasn't shone in Manchester since 1979. In London since 1979. Or in Manchester. He was in Manchester last year, so either way.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's true. You forget how hot those can be, those summers on the East Coast. Just absolutely.
Oh, yeah, shocking.
So sticky, yeah, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, no, that's a good point from Brand, for sure. I think that probably does have a pick. Well, I'm sure it does.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. Well, looking at the Western Conference here, you got Vancouver Whitecaps still sitting on top. Big game with Seattle Sounders and Vancouver Whitecaps this weekend. Seattle Sounders, Siggy Schmidt, I hear, will be returning to the bench. Big game also though tonight, Sporting Kansas City and FC Dallas. FC Dallas really, you know, Dallas at Galaxy on 47, Vancouver on 48. You know, those three teams are really looking to win the Supporter Shield. It's a great little battle there going on. LA Galaxy, Giovanni Dos Santos is said to be returning against Real Salt Lake this week. Very surprising to see Real Salt Lake, Houston Dynamo sitting right at the bottom of the table.
Yeah, it's been a long time since seen anything like that at Real Salt Lake. Obviously, the Rapids would be down there. They've been struggling for a while, but the Dynamo just haven't had enough this year. It's not, you know, Barnes is the only guy scoring for them, or has been the only guy, really, and it's been
tough.
But
we talked about it pre-show. Owen Coyle, an English manager, you've had a lot of big managers come here, foreign managers. You got to understand this league and how it operates, and you know, I mean, it might take them a year, because it's, you know, it's different. And
fast pace.
Yeah, it is.
Well, not fast pace. I should say that the schedule's different. Things are in and out. You know, you're playing over
the
summertime.
I mean, the
travel.
Exactly. It's like going to Kazakhstan every week for a league match. You know, I mean, it's unbelievable. But I will say this: the battle for the sixth and final playoff spot in the Western Conference is going to be fantastic. You got Seattle on 42, Sporting Kansas City on 41, Portland Timbers on 41, San Jose on 40. One of these teams is not going to make it, and whichever of those teams doesn't make it, it's going to be a shock for that team.
Yeah, I mean, San Jose's right in there. I'm actually going to go down and watch the Timbers play Red Bull on Sunday.
That's right.
40-year anniversary for Portland Timbers.
Little Timbers
alumni weekend. Oh, yeah, here we go. It should be a lot of fun. Excited for the team. And, you know, they're off their handful with the Red Bulls. So. That's going to be good.
Oh, yeah.
Be good game.
That'll be a great game. That's a great stadium.
Yeah, and Diego Valeri is back, so, you know, he's bringing a lot of quality to that team, and they needed him. The first part of the summer, they didn't have him at all, and that's really cost him. But he's back. You know, you got the Wright brothers they're taking on, so see how they do.
Yeah, I mean, they invented flight. I mean, why can't they score a couple of goals?
Yeah, a couple of goals, yeah. You know, you got both right.
Yeah.
So, anyway, it's going to be a fantastic game. Fantastic environment.
The only problem that Portland has going for him, and it'll be a problem that remains with them, is that Caleb Porter's their manager, and he's wearing a scarf, and it's 95 degrees out.
That is an issue. I'm not sure what's going on there.
It's an issue. I mean, how can the guy coach when he's having a heat stroke?
Yeah.
It's a self-inflicted heat stroke punch, and he's wearing a scarf. I mean,
yeah.
It's one thing for Sidney Schmidt to do it. He originated the whole thing. But, I mean, come on. This guy kills me.
Yeah, no, I don't mean, I'm not a huge fan of it either. You know, you just got to move on. But
and I just also wanted to just bring up once again that he was coaching the only U.S. Olympic team that didn't qualify for this.
Yeah, you would bring that up.
Even though it was like 5 years ago, I'm still going to keep bringing that up.
Right, that last-minute loss. Whatever, to Guatemala, I think it was, or El
Salvador. Yeah,
that was
something
great.
Like that. That was great.
The Liam Ridgewell and Nap Orchards will definitely have their hands full, though, with those guys up there.
Well, Nap
Orchards
has his hand full with anybody because he's bad at soccer.
He had a rough game against the Sounders, so definitely to say that.
He's had a few rough games. They brought him in. Portland brought him in to shore up their defense, and they've given up more goals than they did last year.
We'll just see how it works out.
Yeah. They were hoping, well, maybe the ball gets stuck in this guy's beard and people won't be able to find it. They can't score. Didn't happen that way. Just didn't happen that way. LA Galaxy will be in Seattle on October 4th. Unfortunately, I won't be able to see that because I'll be at the UWCLA game. But, big college game in Denver.
That's two huge games. Yeah, two LA teams visiting. Very, very good.
Yeah.
UCLA's got a great team.
We're taking the whole club there, so it should be, you know, busting everybody up there. We got like 200 kids going. So
Awesome.
But I'm very disappointed I'm going to miss that game. I'm actually hoping that Seattle takes the final playoff spot and plays Galaxy in the first round because I just want to see those guys play together.
Yeah. They're developing right now. We talked about it several times here. And I think, you know, obviously they're both ours picked to both of ours pick to win the whole thing. I mean,
again.
It's just, they're going to win it again. I mean, it also comes down to Bruce Arena and just how he operates and knows this league so well. I don't know how many times Bruce Arena has won the league now. I don't know that fact. I think it's six times now. Adam with DC United.
One with DC. I'd love to find that. Go to Europe and coach in Europe. I'd love to see him go there because I think he's a great coach. I heard he's not the nicest guy in the world, but, I mean, a lot of good coaches aren't.
Well, will we get rid of an American coach now? I mean, we got Bob doing it in Egypt. He was doing it as a coach of Egypt.
Now he's in Denmark.
But, I mean, can we ever get an American coach into a top-level team? Will we ever see that? Probably not. Kind of
well,
a long time.
We will.
I mean, eventually.
But you and I will be 75 sitting on a
pool
playing cribbage talking about this show that we used to have.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think you're right. We will be sitting on that porch playing cribbage. You're listening to Todd Scott and Aaron Hines in here on From the Touchline in Seattle. Every Friday morning, we're here, Hines. Every single Friday in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
Some of them feel better than others. This one feels pretty good, even though I got mentioned last night. Let's get into World 11 in the bottom three because I got a lot to talk about in the bottom three. I need some time here, so
all right.
Let's get right into it. One of my favorite sections of the show, and that's Heinzo's World 11.
Just before I get into the World 11, of course, it's always coached by Scott Gibby Gibson at SGI, but Bruce Arena has five MLS Cup titles, two with DC United, 96-97, three with the Galaxy, 2011, 2012, 2014. So
he really He had a little gap there in the middle, though, didn't he?
Yeah, a little bit of a gap here. I mean, he's with the national team and that kind of stuff. So, but, yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So it wasn't in the MLS.
We'll let it slide, Bruce.
Good work, Bruce. Good work. World 11. I'm going to start out with Luigi Buffon. Classic World 11.
Unbelievable performance,
Against Manchester City. It's absolutely fantastic. Benucci, his teammate, is also in there. So I included both those guys. The Vucevic, if I'm saying right, I'm throwing that left back. He's a Zagreb player. Arsenal is very, very good on the left hand side. Dante for Wolfsburg, getting in there. Moscow well done to Dante. We, as you know, came from Bayern Munich. Wolfsburg snapped him up, and great buy for them.
Good buy for them. They had they had enough money to do it after selling to Bruce.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah, so really nice buy.
They actually just bought the entire Bundesliga, and there's going to be no game. Sorry. Wolfsburg,
sorry, you guys have a buy now. We have enough money.
And you get another win. There's no game. You bought it.
And, of course, as previously mentioned, Alessandro Florenzi of Roma, the right back, with his goal. If you have not seen this goal, you must go look at it right now. It's absolutely stupendous goal against Barcelona by him. I threw in, you know, I felt a little bit bad for him. I don't know why, but Cesc Fabregas in the middle played all right against Tel Aviv. It's kind of a little bit of a toss-in. I'm not very proud of it. But there he is.
I mean, if you're going to feel bad for somebody, feel bad for your
star. You're right.
The only thing that Fabregas is doing is transforming into an alien. And
he's not done well.
He's changing shape. I've never seen a human being whose head changes shape. He must be taking steroids or something.
He's finished. Yeah, no, it's 4-0 win. Weak opponent. You know, check back on me on why I did that. But anyways, Fabregas jumps in there. Griezmann is the real star of the whole group. Two goals for Atletico Madrid against Galatasaray. Fantastic. Maria, another one for PSG, did a very, very good job. He's a new player. Couldn't work out at United. I don't know what was going on with him. Was never happy in Manchester, but he looks to be back. Time against Bordeaux over the weekend.
Definitely looking to be back.
Yeah, does an incredible job. I mean, the two goalkeeper, horrible goalkeeping here. On the other side of things, didn't see a terrible goalkeeping move. Trapped the German goalkeeper from PSG. Both goalkeepers had a terrible job, but he literally stripped the ball with a few minutes left and Bordeaux scores. Takes his time on the kick, doesn't do it. Anyway, they got 2-2.
Yeah.
Ronaldo, getting up top, Ronaldo, you know, Ronaldo's hat trick, pretty easy. 80 goals, no one's even close to Messi.
He scored 8 goals.
Scored 8 goals, but now he scored 80 Champions League goals. Thomas Mueller's up there with 2 goals against Lewandowski. That guy's a machine, and Hulk, 2 goals against Valencia in a pretty exciting game presented at Petersburg. And your favorite man, AVB, gets the win over Valencia 3-2. So that's the World 11. As always, coached by Scott Gibby Gibson.
And Scott Gibby Gibson got his first win of the year.
He sure did, yeah. Starting off, big win, best champ.
You're fantastic at center back. I felt like I had a good second performance there, right back, but it's going to be my last game for a couple weeks after I blew my hamstring with 16-year-old yesterday.
But just let me there for the third half, won't you? Maybe.
Yeah.
We can't miss that. We got a lot of games at the Matador. We got a lot of opportunities to be at the Matador.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, you guys were bagging on the food, but I still thought it was great.
I was loving it.
Oh yeah. No, it was Sagar and Mitch were bagging on the food. No, it wasn't.
I don't know
Mitch,
why. Sagar. Who knows why?
I thought we had a great order. Anyway.
I thought so too.
Let's go to the bottom three. Which I'm sorry. I know it's cheating, but it's a bottom six. I had to double it. There's just too much. I can't go just three to this week. I'm going to start with Arsene Wenger and Jose Mourinho because, we've already talked about it. The ultimate meltdown artist, Arsene Wenger. And Jose Mourinho, he's just losing his mind. He's starting to fight with Roberto Martinez about who's going first in the media room after the game. I mean, Jose Mourinho, to me, I think he's losing the plot. And I think that he's lost the plot before and been okay because he can, he can get away with it because he's winning, but now he's got 4 points from 5 games. He's got to win in Israel, but we'll see what happens. So I go with Jose just because they're just, Arsene Wenger is a donkey, and Jose Mourinho is acting like one right now. And plus with the big face-off coming up, I just had to put them in. So they're out. Number 6 and number 5 at the bottom. Number 4, good old Brendan Rodgers, because here's an arrogant man who's won 0. And he lost again to United, another big game. And somehow he has the audacity to say that they were in the game at some point. I just can't understand this.
There was a moment where they were passing around for a minute, but no, I wouldn't say they were ever really in the game.
There was a moment when they were in the game, and I'm going to tell you when that was. In warm-ups. That's when they were in the game. As soon as the whistle blew, they were out of the game. I mean, he just doesn't have the team to do it, and I don't think he's a good enough coach. I think he's getting back by the end of the year, like I already said. He's occupying number 4.
Do you think they'll beat Norwich at home this weekend?
No, I don't. I think
it'll be a draw.
I think they're going to draw that game. I think they're going to draw that game.
Yeah,
for sure.
Norwich, they'll be up for it for sure. I mean, they're ahead of them by, you know, they're ahead of them in the standings.
Yeah, I mean, they certainly are. And I just don't think they have the quality. I mean, is Coutinho back?
Good question. I don't know the answer to that.
No, I mean,
if he's back, it's a different game. But, yeah, I don't know.
Let's move on into the actual bottom three. Now we're out of the three. Taking up number three is Jackie Wilshere, the absolute styrofoam man. I mean, this guy has made of glass. It's actually a new compound that they've created. It's a glass combined with styrofoam, where if the wind blows incorrectly, he's shattered. I've never seen anything like it. A 23-year-old man is supposedly fit. I mean, I don't know. Maybe his legs are too short. He's not put together properly. I don't know what it is. But this guy, I've never seen anything like it. These are injuries just coming out of nowhere. It's one thing that Luke Shaw has a train running over his leg and snaps in half. This guy's like walking on the street, and then, you know, his hamstring blows out. I mean, he's having surgery for bones in his leg that will not grow together properly after they were broken. I mean, what's wrong with this guy?
I don't know. He should certainly not pursue rugby after this career is over. No.
He shouldn't do anything. He should live in a bubble. I mean, it's unbelievable. So, Jackie Wilshere, number three on there. And I just love it because all the Arsenal fans are like, oh, he's hurt again. Oh, no, he was the big hope. No, no, he wasn't. He was about as much of a hope as Oxford Chamberlain was. Yeah, I mean, this guy is just not good enough. So, anyways, number three. Number two, I'm going to bring FIFA back in the mix time, though. Jerome Boateng. What a big shot.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Wow, something's come out that he was trying to sell tickets for above face value. I mean, like you said in the pre-show, are these guys not making enough money at FIFA, or they need to make another $100,000 on selling tickets to people that can't afford them? It's unbelievable. And of course, he denies it. Just, you know,
right.
This is Sepp Blatter's right-hand man, and now he's out of FIFA. I mean, Sepp Blatter is definitely throwing this guy under the bus. There's no question in my mind that he's throwing this guy under the bus.
Yeah, I think so. It's product of the environment, I think, a bit, too. Right? He's seen everybody else doing all the kinds of stuff. Clearly, there's that's just kind of deal. He's like, oh, I should get in on this piece of pie, too. So I agree. How does Blatter not know about this? Totally agree. I think that he's throwing him under the bus. It's ridiculous.
Oh, God.
So he should be the next one to go, for sure. Well, he is going, but he should be indicted.
He's going, but, I mean, there's no question, Jerome Balke. I mean, keep denying it. Like, come on, man. How can you deny it?
Yeah.
Look at what's going on around you. I mean,
exactly. You're the Secretary General.
Jack Wilshere saying he's healthy. I mean, come on. Unbelievable. So he's taking up number two. And,
interesting.
I mean, with him being at number two, it was really going to take something big to beat him for the number one spot. There's only one man that can take that spot right now, and that's good old Timmy Sherwood. Because, I mean, I'm just
saying Timmy Sherwood.
Oh, I can't stand this guy. I mean, I've never seen a manager celebrate goals with his team like this at any level, not even like U6. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. He's running up and down the sidelines faster than his players are running on the field to celebrate these goals. I mean, I just, this guy, oh, God, he just kills me. I mean, it kills me just to see how, but I love it. Because he sets himself up to get absolutely crucified by me and everybody else because his team up 2-0, he's more worried about celebrating than actually tactically figuring out how to hold a two-goal lead in 18 minutes, and he can't do it. Not at all. So Timmy Sherwood heading into a big old Birmingham derby this weekend against West Bromwich Albion.
Right. It's going to be huge.
It is going to be huge, and I mean, gosh, I hope he loses. I mean, I really hope he does. But this guy, he's number one, bottom three. And listen, he might be again next week. I don't know. He could end up there as well because who knows what he's going to do on the sidelines this week. Did they score a goal in the derby? I mean, he might do a victory lap around the whole field before the game's even over.
With a flag and everything,
the big flag. He puts a big Aston Villa bear head on his head. He's running around. Yeah, go Villa. This guy's a clown. I mean, when he gets fired from this next job, which is going to happen, he's going straight into the circus. He's not going to get another managerial job. His only job that he can get out of this is in the circus, and we'll see him. We'll see him in the circus. Ian coming to town this weekend to Seattle. Tim Sherwood in the circus.
Do you think Yeah, if things don't improve at Villa, he's certainly. I mean, they're just above the relegation zone with 4 points. West Brom at five.
Right.
But do you think he's like?
Flirting.
Do you think he's in his office after he set the starting 11? He's celebrating and he's completed that when he gets the phone call like, Jim, actually, we're gonna need you to clean out your
team. Yeah, actually, you're gonna go celebrate somewhere. I don't know. I mean, he's terrible. Anyways, that's my bottom three.
That's great, Summer.
I wish we had more because I could just go on forever. But, it's another one in the books, Heinzo. Todd Sauber and Heinzen from the Touchline in Seattle. Another one in the books. We'll talk to you next week. Friday, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern. Have a good weekend.
Oh, yeah.